love everlasting, reigning on high.
Good morning, church. Methinks you were a little blessed by that little song right there. I heard some wonderful voices. And just a reminder that that's why we're here. We're here to worship and praise Him. Amen? Would you please stand with me? Let's ask His blessing upon this, His service. And we'll remain standing as we lift our voice in praise this morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this is indeed the day that You've made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in it. We invite You, Holy Spirit, into this place. Speak to our minds and our hearts and our lives this day, Lord Jesus. Reveal to us Your eternal truth, that it would be planted deep in our hearts and our lives. And You, God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, would take that truth and transform our lives and enable us to become more like Jesus, the one who calls us to Himself. For each person here this morning, Lord Jesus, touch them in a dynamic way, in a new way, in a divine way, I pray, as You draw each of us close to You and each of us close one to another, as You work all things together to bring glory to Christ. For all that You've done and continue to do and in anticipation of what you yet shall accomplish through this body of believers that you call your own, both here in this place and those who are joining us on Facebook. Father, we're going to give you praise in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. In keeping with the fact that we as God's people ought to rejoice on the first day of the week, every first day of the week, because we serve a risen Savior. Amen? We're going to sing together, Jesus Messiah. Let's lift it. Let's keep singing this morning. That's our hope. That's our glory. That's our power. That's our strength. And it's in the person of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And to that, we as God's people say, amen. Take a few moments and give a West Olive wave to those around you. And we'll wave to the folks that are watching on Facebook this morning. And then you may be seated. Announcements again, tithes and offerings. Please place those in that little joy box back there, that little red box that's hanging on the back wall. Slip that in there. Those of you who are watching on Facebook, a couple of avenues for you. One, you can draft a check to the church, 8374 First Avenue, West Olive, Michigan, 49460. Confirm that address on our website that is found. You can click right off the Facebook page and get there all the information that you need. Or you may also click the PayPal button and give accordingly. And just a big thank you to each one who has faithfully responded in your giving to sustain and allow the ministry here to move forward in a mighty, mighty way. Thank you very much. Before you, you have the bulletin information in your pew right there. If you don't have one as you're watching on Facebook, let me encourage you to connect with us, reach out to us and say, hey, I'd like to be put on the mailing list for the bulletin. We'll make sure that happens for you. But pointing things out, just one thing, that first one, Thursday, May 6th, that's this week. May 6th is the National Day of Prayer. And if we as a nation ever need to call out to God and need to connect with God and make our petitions known to God, it is now. Amen? Amen. Convince me. Amen. Thank you. There's going to be a prayer gathering from 12:20 to 12:40 at the West Olive Township Hall. That is right across from the Tech Center on Port Sheldon, down or Port Sheldon and 136 would be going north. That's where that's at, right, Harv? I got that confirmed. Olive Township, okay? Olive Township. Sorry for the typo on that. National Day of Prayer, 12:20, 12:40. Be encouraged. Let me encourage you to be a part of that. Not only that particular day, but pray on a regular basis for our nation. Because our nation stands in need of dire prayer. Amen? Rhett, to that? At this time, Rhett's going to receive prayer requests.
Just a reminder that after church, if anyone has need of personal prayer, you can meet with today Kathy and I down in the prayer room in the basement. There's a sign on the door that says prayer room. And if anyone needs more extended prayer, you can just give me a call. My phone number's in the bulletin, and we can meet later in the week. So we will take prayer requests and praises now. I would like to give an update. Margaret Preston, my friend who was in Virginia and contacted COVID, she did pass away. Mm. So actually, I think that's a blessing because she had bone cancer, and her life from this point forward would have been very, very painful. So I think God took her home early to save her from that agony she would have gone through. So just be in prayer for her family, if you would. And be in prayer for Cal's family and their loss of Cal's uncle still, and the Rinkema family and all they've been going through. So any other praises or prayer requests? Go ahead, Kathy.
B has not sustained the infliction of COVID, so that's a good thing. Number two, B is wrestling with a sciatic nerve that is pushing pain down into her leg, and so she's addressing that this week. And I encouraged her a little bit, said you're in our prayers, and we'll hopefully anticipate see her next week. So.
And I'd ask for prayer for. Over the last 4 years, we've just experienced a lot of hatred in our nation, and it's gone from both sides. And so pray for forgiveness and just love to just fill up the hearts of all those that have hatred in their hearts, to just replace it.
As we prepare for prayer this morning, let's stay right where we're at and we'll lift this song together.
We ask you to touch our hearts, our minds, our spirits today. Just be with us. Help us to know you in a closer, more personal way, in an intimate way, Lord. Help us to feel your love in a tangible way. Help us to give you time, one-on-one, personal, intimate time out of our busy days, even if it's just 5 minutes, Lord. Call us into that close, loving, caring relationship with you, Lord. For we love because you first loved us. So help us to feel that love, Lord. Help us to wash away any animosity or unforgiveness towards others, Lord. And help us to just look toward you, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we ask you to bless those families that are experiencing the loss of a loved one, or coming to the end of a loved one's life and realizing that. Just bless them and comfort them, Father. We ask you to touch those people that have pain, whether it's internal pain, whether it's physical pain, whether it's emotional pain, just touch them today, Lord, especially B. Bless and touch the sick in our families, in our circle of loved ones, and those that we intercede for. Bless them and heal them and fill them to overflowing with your love, Lord. Let that basket of blessings up in heaven that's pushed down, shaken together, and overflowing with your blessings, just tip it, Father. Let it tip over and just let your blessings just shower down upon us, Father. And let us know that those blessings are from you in your grace and your love and your mercy. Heal our land, Lord. Just let us get back to a godly nation, one that trusts in you, lives for you, and the church also, Lord. Help the church get back to worshiping you and glorifying you and trusting in you. Just bless us throughout today and the rest of the week, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Just big kids here today, eh? That's all right. This is probably more appropriate for big kids than some of the littler kids. Because little kids never seem to get to the point where they understand that they're at the end of their rope. Right? Huh? Unless mother threatens them to take them out. After all, she did bring them into the world. She has the privilege to take them out. The statement there is, the end of your rope is the beginning of God's doorstep. Have you ever thought of it like that? Or is it more, oh my goodness, I'm at the end of my rope, where do I go now? All right. Talking about the Beatitudes now, and Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I told you that I'd be using the Message to coincide with that. And the Message records the following. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rule. Let that sink in this morning. It's along the proclamation of John the Baptist himself, who said, I must decrease so that he can increase. So when we've run out of our own intelligence and we've gotten to the point where we believe we're at the end of our rope, maybe that would be a good time to realize that our next step needs to be through the threshold of the opening that exists for us in coming closer to God. Amen? May God bless you with that today. Would you stand with me, please, and let's lift together this beautiful song before I share God's word this morning, Knowing You. This morning, I want to come back to the subject of the Holy Spirit. A couple of weeks ago, we shared with you Holy Spirit 101, and I've just titled this one Holy Spirit 102. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, the Bible says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." Nice little picture reminder there. Someone has said that picture or a picture is worth a thousand words, and there it is. Life giver. Life giver is the Holy Spirit. And the good news is we as God's people are privileged to experience Him. Let's pray together. Father God, in these next few moments, I would just ask that you would guide us through the very presence of the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit to receive this truth, this eternal truth that is ours in you. May we be encouraged and blessed and helped and healed and empowered and be set on a pathway, Lord Jesus, that will allow us to communicate to those around us. Maybe not so much in words, but through the way we live our life, that we are indeed empowered by God's very presence. For what you're going to accomplish in us, I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Back there in that little message, Holy Spirit 101, a couple of weeks ago, on the 18th of April, we learned the following about the Holy Spirit. We learned that we learned about the person of the Holy Spirit and the pictures of the Holy Spirit that are found in God's Word and the purpose of the Holy Spirit, which is a complete work, a sevenfold ministry. And if you'd like to be reminded of that, let me encourage you to go back, take a peek on Facebook and listen to the message again, or go on our website and give a listen to that there, just to learn more about the Holy Spirit. We learned about the power of the Holy Spirit, the priority of the Holy Spirit, what He provides for us, and we learn the promise of the Holy Spirit. Just as a backdrop to get us tuned in to who this Holy Spirit is, and today we're going to be talking about what He wants to do in our lives, the contrast between who we are without God's Spirit, the natural man, and why the Holy Spirit is present. And ultimately, it's simply to make us more like Jesus. So if you've got your outline ready or a good listening ear, let's embark upon this thing as we take a look under the sermon title again, Holy Spirit 102. First thing is this, the Bible, God's Word, God's Holy Word, His eternal Word. The Bible gives us instruction. It gives us instruction to live by the Holy Spirit. Next slide, please, Milt. Or John. There you go. Awesome. Power in the Holy Spirit. There's power in the Holy Spirit. The Bible instructs us to live by the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said the following words. He said, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. By His power, you will be guided into my truth. The proverb writer, Proverbs 14, 12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. The natural man, the sinful man, the man without God's power and His Spirit will stumble around and try to find a way, but that way will end in death. Hey, a couple of questions for us to ponder this morning, and they are these. Who is controlling my life? Ask yourself, who's controlling my life? And follow that up by saying, am I being self-led? Am I being self-led, or am I surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is leading my life? Some good questions that we need to ask ourselves this morning. I thought about this past week. I don't know what triggered it, but it was worth thinking about. And it was this. There are two ways to travel through a foreign country. There are two ways to travel through a foreign country. And I'm going to stop right there and be reminded that we as God's people are in a foreign land. This earth is not our home. Our home is in heaven with Jesus. Amen? We're just passing through. We're traveling through a foreign country. So there are two ways to travel through a foreign country. One, try to do it on your own. Good luck. I'm just saying. Try to do it on your own or go through a travel agency and have them dot all the I's and cross all the T's. I'm here to tell you that we have the best travel agent that anyone could ever have. His name is Jesus, and He's got the best agent that anyone has ever had. He's the Holy Spirit, and He will dot all the I's and cross all the T's, and He will keep you from getting lost in this foreign land. He will keep you on the right path and eventually lead you home to be with Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. You see, the Bible gives us instruction to live by the Holy Spirit of God. That's God's desire for us. Because He knows we have a sinful nature. We've been born into sin, and we're going to talk about that ugliness that can exist in our hearts and lives, that ugliness that God came to eradicate so that we could have a relationship with Him and live with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Point number two, here it is. The sinful nature that Paul talks about here to the Galatian church, the sinful nature, that's the natural man, can be defined as carnality. It's carnality. And that picture, powerful picture there, the sinful nature in us, that desire to go against godly authority will bind us up. You'll notice that individual's hands are bound. That's exactly what sin will do to us. In verse 16 of the text, the Bible reminds us that there are desires of the sinful nature. And again, in verse 17, it supports that, saying the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit of God. It's totally opposite. They're diametrically opposed. Darkness on one side, light on the other. And there we are. I found a definition of carnality from dictionary.com, and the definition is twofold, and it is this. Carnality is a preoccupation with or indulgence in the flesh or the body and its passions and appetites. Sensuality. Giving in to the lures of carnality, whether that means porn or real-life promiscuity, is damaging to everyone concerned. And it goes on to say, carnality is the quality or state of being merely temporal or worldly. It is a lack of spiritual vitality or maturity. That's carnality. That's the sinful nature. We are all plagued with it. God came to save us from that through Jesus Christ and empower us with his presence so that we could live far above the carnal desires of our nature. You all right with that? Somebody nod, say yes, okay? Because we're going to move on. As the Bible says, we need to understand that carnality is in opposition to the Spirit of God. Carnality is totally opposite of what God desires for us and has planned for us. The note on that pick there, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. That's Romans 7:18, the Apostle Paul writing that. In verse 17 of our text, we're reminded, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are opposite of one another. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. In Romans 8, chapter 5 through 8, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful man is hostile to, or the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. I don't know about you, but I learned a long time ago that life is pretty good if you strive simply to be obedient to Jesus and do what he's asked you to do. You can get in a lot of trouble and in some deep weeds if you let your stubbornness and your self-centeredness and your sinfulness take control of what it is that God would prefer to have happen in your heart and life. Huh? So that's the carnality. That's the natural being of who we are. And there's some profound characteristics to this thing, and that's the next point. Identifying the characteristics of carnality. It is a long list. It is a troubling list. It is a list that can trip us up and destroy us if we allow it to. It needs to be given over to the Lord. Notice that everybody's hands are up on that picture. Let's everybody just put a hand up and signify the fact that this is the stuff that we have wrestled with or we might be wrestling with. This is the stuff that God came to give us victory over. Come on, join me here, church. Come on, don't be afraid. All right, here we are. We can overcome this stuff. This is where we get the victory. This is where we become empowered by God's Spirit. This is where, giving this over to God and let God cleanse us from this, this is where we can express with hearts of joy and excitement that God can do immeasurably more than what we could ever think or hope for. All right? This is the stuff that God came to kick out of our lives. All right? So you might need more room to scratch. I'm just going to run through these things. There's the massive list. I may expound on a couple of those. All right? But hang on. Here we go. Identifying the characteristics of carnality. Verse 19 of the text, the acts of the sinful nature, Paul writes, are obvious. They are obvious. There's no doubt about it. They are as clear as a bell. And I want to tell you, in the world in which we live, boy, it is, we don't no longer have a gray area, folks. It is either white or it's black. It is either dark or it's light. It is either night or it's day. The line of demarcation, I believe, has been drawn. Folks are either in the camp of the enemy or they're in the camp of the king. Camp of the enemy, camp of the king. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the camp of the king. Amen? Huh? Just saying. In our world today, from the highest office in the land to the lowest office in the land, our world is inundated with carnal characteristics. The ploy of the enemy to destroy humanity, period. All right? And we in God's kingdom, we in the church, need to experience that cleansing. We need to rid ourselves of this stuff And it's we, God's people, who are called to make a difference in our world. People who are no longer plagued by this right here. All right? You all right? Got a little quiet on me there. Come on now. Carnal characteristics. Here they are. First of all, sexual immorality. Sexual immorality, that's lust, adultery, pornography, and fornication running rampant in our world. Impurity and debauchery, nothing more than wickedness. I know I'm preaching to the crowd this morning, all right? Our world is just inundated with wickedness. There's idolatry and witchcraft. That is nothing more than placing other things above Jesus, and it is also manipulating and attempting to control someone. Tell me that don't exist today, all right? Just saying. There is hatred. There is discord. There is jealousy. There are fits of rage, and fits of rage is nothing more than flat out just losing it. And going off on someone. There's selfish ambition that's making oneself more important than anyone or anything else. There's dissension in our world today. There are factions that are transpiring in our world today, and those are groups of persons and organizations working in a common cause against the main bodies who comprise organizations. And factions are nothing more than a cancer that grows from the inside to destroy those around them. Running rampant in our world today. Envy, drunkenness, orgies. Paul says to the Galatian church that the sinful nature is obvious. It's obvious in our world. It's clear cut in our world today. Furthermore, the carnal man lives an unstable. That's an up and down experience in life. Never satisfied, all over the place, up and down all the time. The carnal man wrestles with understanding himself. He wants to do right, but he just can't get it done. Romans 7, 15 through 17, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. And Jesus came to take care of that, to eradicate that, so that we would no longer be plagued with carnal characteristics. The carnal man is ignorant to his spiritual heritage. It succumbs to the following. Succumbs to unbelief. Succumbs to disobedience. Lives with a loss of love for God and others. But watch this. How could one even think to call oneself a Christian having lost their love for Jesus and others? Can't be. Actions speak louder than what? Carnal nature is obvious. Sooner or later, what's in an individual's heart and life is going to be exposed to those around them. It's obvious. The carnal man continues to succumb from a poor prayer life. He has no desire for God's word. He lives with a legalistic attitude. That's a pharisaical attitude. It's something that would go along these lines. Oh, thank you, God, that I'm not like so-and-so. Pushing others down, trampling on others to try to make himself look better. He succumbs to impure thoughts of guilt, of worry, of discouragement. He has a critical spirit. That would be Mr. or Mrs. Negative all the time. You ever run into somebody like that out in the world? You ever run into somebody like that within the body of believers? Whoa, time out. Can't be. They're full of frustration, and they live an aimless life. Those are the carnal characteristics that Jesus came to eradicate from our hearts and our lives. Carnal characteristics that Paul said are obvious in our world. Paul wrote about that way back there, 40 to 60 AD after Jesus' death. Here we are in 2020. Doesn't, or 2021, excuse me. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for getting on that quickly. 2021. Not much has changed in the life of human beings since Paul wrote this. Sin is still a problem that plagues humanity. The reason why Jesus came to die and give himself for you and I, and then send the Holy Spirit so that we could be empowered to overcome this stuff here. Are you all right this morning, church? Let's keep going on. Number five, if I were the robot on Lost in Space, how many of you remember, that little show, Lost in Space, Will Robinson? You remember that? You remember what the robot would do? Danger, danger, warning, warning, warning. Or Will Robinson. That's what this is. Paul gives a warning, warning, warning. Warning, warning, warning. Verse 21, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Go back one slide, John, if you would please. Those who are living in sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies will not find their place in the kingdom of God. That is sinfulness. That is total opposition to what God is all about, what Jesus is all about, what the Holy Spirit is all about. And Paul is saying, I warn you. As I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. God's desire is that all humanity would be saved, to come to the full saving grace of Jesus Christ, to know Him, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. That's God's plan, but He leaves it up to us. And I share with you the words of Joshua, who proclaimed long ago, "Choose whom you will serve this day. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." All right? Talking about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit 102, why He came, what He came to take care of. And number six bears that out. Number six, the process of killing carnality. It happens through the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's power. It happens because we're willing to look at the reality of where we are and who's controlling and what's controlling our life, and to deal with that thing and to move closer to the Lord and ask God to empower us with His very presence. Colossians 3, 5, and 6. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. God is going to unleash His wrath upon all of this. And I can't help to think that we are not far away from a great reckoning of God moving in our world today that's going to move to eradicate this garbage. I'm watching and I'm praying. That's what the Word of God says. I'm engaging in what God has asked us to do. I'm doing what He's asked us to do until He returns. I encourage you to do the same. Occupy. Occupy until I return. Live by the power of my Spirit until I return. Make a difference in your world until I return. Speak the words of the Holy Spirit flowing through you until I return. Allow the Holy Spirit to eradicate in your heart and life anything that is displeasing to me, the process of killing carnality. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but we live according to the Spirit of God. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, from the Message again. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our spirit in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around you who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what He is doing, has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. The power and the process to kill those carnal characteristics that are so common in the natural man, in the sinful man, the sinful nature that we are born into. But aren't you thankful that God has given us the power to overcome that nature? That would be an appropriate place for an amen, all right? And then Paul goes on to the Galatians in verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Again, the reality of the sinful man, the desire of me, myself, and I, not the power of God himself. If you are conceited, it is the sinful nature. There's no conceit in a loving relationship with Jesus. If you like pushing other people's buttons, if you are a provoker, if you are a button pusher, that is a carnal characteristic. Maybe God needs to reach down and take your finger and snap it a little bit and say, don't do that no more. Anybody here like to push buttons? Stop. Lest God may break your finger, all right? I'm just saying, okay? Provoking one another is not a characteristic of the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. It is the sinful nature. Envy. Envy. That's not Christ-like. That's not God-like. That's not Holy Spirit-like. Those are acts of the sinful nature. That's what God came to eradicate. That's what God came to kill out of our hearts and our lives, because it doesn't have a place in the kingdom of God, nor anyone who is conceited or provokes or is full of envy. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die as a sacrifice for our sin, to pay our penalty of sin. And then he sent the Holy Spirit of God to empower us, to allow us to live above the controlling presence of the sinful nature, to eradicate that from our hearts and our lives, and to set us free by his very presence. Are we on number 7 already? That went quick. So that we can experience life being filled with the Holy Spirit. All of us have this opportunity. All of us have this privilege to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, the Word of God says, be filled with the Spirit. What's that all about, Pastor? Well, Paul talks about that in verses 22 and 23 of our text there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what we need to understand is the first three of these prepare us to be living examples of those who are experiencing life through the Holy Spirit. The first three right out of the gate. First of all, Paul talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit is all about being filled with God's love. 1 John 3:13-16, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Holy Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. It's all about the love of God flowing through us. All these carnal characteristics. Hey, you know, let me just wait out here a little bit. If any of that junk's going on in your life, loved one, it's evidence that you're not living under the authority and the power of God. You're still living for yourself. God came to eradicate that stuff so that his love would flow through us. So that we'd be living examples of those living in the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Love, joy. In Nehemiah 8:10, we read that the joy of the Lord is our strength. How is it that we can keep on going on from day to day, moment to moment, through everything that we've been through this last year or so, and will equip us to keep moving forward for God? It's his joy. So it's love, it's joy, and then it's peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you, set you apart through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than to know that you're in the very presence of God, being filled with his Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and to experience his peace. The Bible says passes all understanding. You can't explain it. All you know deep in your heart and life, that everything's cool, man. Murph, it's resonating well with God, all right? It's being able to lay your head on the pillow at night knowing that there's nothing in conflict with God Almighty. And there's nothing in conflict with those that are around you. To those whom you've been given responsibility to be an encourager and a teacher and a leader, a friend, a companion. That's the peace of God. And it's the love and the joy and the peace that equips us as followers of Christ so that we can effectively have relationships with those around us. And I would go even as far as to say those that are in conflict with us. Because those who are in conflict with us need someone to tell them in a Christ-like way that they are lost and on a pathway to eternal separation from Jesus Christ. Okay? And so the Holy Spirit provides us with patience. Ooh. Let me warn you right now, don't anyone in this room pray for patience. Let God give it to you. Okay? Ask for wisdom, and through asking for wisdom, God will give you patience. If you specifically ask for patience, you're on your own. Okay? The only way to get patience when you ask for it is through experiencing trials and tribulations. Did that change anyone's prayer life right now? Huh? Just say it. So it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, and it's self-control. I just thought a minute. I just had something come to mind on this thing of patience. On this thing of patience. You know, we talked about provoking others, about being button pushers. We probably run in anywhere to 3 to 5 people every week that just push our buttons. Anybody with me this morning? Huh? They like to push buttons, all right? We need to be wise. We need to be wise in the eyes of the Lord and through the power of the Lord to be patient when those people try to push our buttons. We need wisdom, all right? If we pray specifically for patience, then God's going to up the ante on the people that are pushing our buttons, all right, just to work it out. So I'm just saying. Loved one, these characteristics right here, these characteristics that I talked about, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, these characteristics are the true evidence. Watch this. They are the true evidence of an individual being baptized and filled and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Day in and day out. This is the pattern that God has called us to. It is diametrically opposed to all those carnal characteristics that we mentioned before. These are the people that God has called into himself. These are the people that we are called to be. These are the people that God is preparing a place for. These are the people that he's going to come and gather to himself and take them to be to heaven with him, to be with him forever and ever and ever. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in this group right here. Church. So as we wrap this thing up this morning, what say we? Let's enjoy the life that God has for us through the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it make sense that we should live the Spirit-filled life? And look how Paul wraps this up for us. He says, the law of God will not condemn my actions that are guided by the Spirit of God. Wow! There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Come on. No condemnation. Verse 23, against such things there is no law. The law of God that points out sinfulness in an individual's life. There is no sin that will be found for those that are living in the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the patience of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the gentleness of God, and the self-control of God. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to live. The carnal man, second of all, has been put to death, and his passions and his desires no longer trouble me. Through the power of God and living in the power of God, anyone will not be plagued by sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. They are no longer a part of our life. Those have been crucified with Christ. They are dead and buried, and we are living the new life through the power and the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, that's where I want to live. I remember a little song long ago, learned it in Vacation Bible School, long, long ago. Go something like this. If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, say. Amen. If we are truly walking in the power of God's Spirit, the reality of the carnal nature, the sinful nature, will not exist in our hearts and our lives. It has been given over to God. God has taken it, separated it from us as far as the east is from the west. He's purified our hearts, and we're living in His power, His strength, and His person. We're filled with His Spirit, and His Spirit is in our life. And then Paul goes on to say, following in step with the Holy Spirit. That's how we walk. We walk by His power, in step with Him. We're not way over there. We're in our lane with God, moving forward for His glory. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Just some thoughts, just some insights on this Holy Spirit 102. Clearly communicating to us the reality of the sinful man, his carnal nature, the nature that God came to eradicate, the nature that God came to remove from our life and give us His nature, His presence, and His power. Oh, church, let's strive. Let's strive to be living that life. Amen? Stand with me if you would, please. Let's pray a moment. In the last couple of weeks, we've been privileged, Lord, to hear about Your Holy Spirit. And we responded in commitment, as we're going to respond here just a couple of seconds, to committing ourselves to You. When we learn enough, we're able to make a transition. When we learn enough of You, we're able to take a closer step to You. And for each precious one who's assembled here this morning, or each precious one who's watching right now, I pray, Father, that many have reached that point. And there would be a desire in hearts and lives this morning to step away from the carnal nature, the natural man, the sinful nature of humanity, and give that over to You and step closer into a deeper relationship with You through the person of the Holy Spirit. So for each one here and each one who is watching, I pray for many transformational steps to take place this morning. All because of You, Lord. All because of Your goodness to us. All because that You are here calling us to Yourself. May that happen, I pray. May it become a reality for us as we sing together this song about the Holy Spirit. May many lives, I pray, be changed for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sing with me if you would, please.
To be overcome.
Be in the house of the Lord this day, has it not? Amen. Hey, just to let you know, FYI, next week is Mother's Day, all right? And moms, it's going to be your day. We're going to rejoice in you next Sunday. And so anticipate that. Last year, we were confined. And I got to tell you, it is tough preaching a Mother's Day message from my office. Just saying, all right? I'm looking forward to lifting our mothers up in praise and proclaiming a blessing on them next week. As you leave this place, loved one, leave in the power, in the person, in the presence of God's Spirit, who bestows to us Christ's love and His joy and His peace, Christ's patience and His kindness and His goodness, Christ's faithfulness and His gentleness and His self-control. In those we live the life that God has called us to live. Let the world see it for the glory of Jesus and the advancement of His kingdom. In Christ's name I pray over you. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. You are dismissed.